This is a reading of the early lectures of Rudolf Steiner, entitled The Christian Mystery. Section 6, lecture, is about the Gospel readings. Lecture 6.1 is John's Gospel, given on February 3, 1907, in Heidelberg. John's Gospel is contested by modern Christian theology. It is said that the Synoptic Gospels, the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, give a unified image of Jesus. The deviations are insignificant. It is claimed that it is possible to form a unified picture of Jesus from the Synoptic Gospels. John's Gospel, on the other hand, diverges a great deal from the unified view. It speaks in an entirely different tone and way about the founder of Christianity. Consequently, it is considered less believable. It is said that the writers of the Synoptic Gospels wanted to relate the life of Christ, whereas the author of John's Gospel lived later and expressed as a kind of hymn only what he felt. Theology sees John's Gospel as a devout poetic work. The times are past when a theologian such as Christian Bunsen, 1791 to 1860, could say, quote, "If John's Gospel does not contain historical truth, then Christianity is not to be believed," unquote. Spiritual science has the task of making the significance of John's Gospel accessible to modern human beings. There is another reason for modern theologians' preference for the Synoptic Gospels over John's. A summary of the content of these three Gospels, leaving aside the miracles, presents us with the picture of a noble, even sublime man, who is, nevertheless, merely a highly developed human being. According to John's Gospel, Jesus was more than just a highly developed man. He was a universal being incarnated in an earthly body. The authors of the Synoptic Gospels speak of Jesus of Nazareth. John's Gospel deals with the Christ. The introduction to John's Gospel speaks of an all-encompassing universal principle, the Logos, which incarnated in Jesus of Nazareth. Quote, "In the beginning was the Word," unquote. Modern human beings are not interested in a sublime spiritual being that exists behind everything, but believe only in highly developed human beings. People do not believe that a God ever lived on earth. This is why people have lost a relationship to John's Gospel. This lecture will be concerned with our relationship to John's Gospel. We read John's Gospel falsely when we read it as we do other books, to be instructed by what is contained there. John's Gospel is not a book in the modern sense of the term. It is a book of life. In all deeply religious documents, every single word is set in place with a clear intention. An example may clarify what I meant. Consider this question, quote, "According to John's Gospel, what was the name of Jesus' mother?" unquote. Everyone will answer Mary, but this cannot be proved from John's Gospel itself. The mother of Jesus is first mentioned in John's Gospel at the marriage in Cana, but without name. Quote, "On the third day there was a marriage at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there," unquote, John chapter 2, verse 1. She is mentioned again later among the three women standing by the cross. Quote, "But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene," and quote John chapter 19, verse 25. Here it is not Jesus' mother, but her sister, who is called Mary. Because it is improbable that both sisters were named Mary, we must assume that the mother of Jesus had another name. Take another example. The author of John's Gospel, or the one usually referred to as John, is usually called here, quote, "the disciple whom the Lord loved," unquote. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing near, he said to his mother, quote, "Woman, behold your son," unquote, John 19:26. This has a profound significance for understanding the questions that John's Gospel brings to us when we try to understand it spiritually. Until a few centuries ago, John's Gospel was seen as a meditation book that had to be experienced inwardly by those seeking an inner vision of Jesus. It was for priests who wanted a vision of the secrets of Christianity. Many hundreds, in fact, have done this, and many hundreds have reaped its fruits. Those who wanted to advance to the Christian mysteries were supposed to mature their souls through John's Gospel alone. But they had to know that the first sentences had magical power. Students had to take these sentences into their souls every morning in a living way for 15 to 30 minutes, without speculating about their meaning, purely to draw the power from them. That was meditation. These sentences revealed a special power to those who lived with them for months and years as described. Their spiritual eyes opened. These sentences are living forces, capable of awakening sleeping faculties. Thus a student experienced all of the pictures of John's Gospel in astral visions. The first words can evoke this experience. This power was greater in the past than it is today. People have changed more than is generally believed. In the 13th century, before the art of printing was invented, people did not read. Reading has changed the human being very much. Even the most devoutly religious person today cannot imagine the wealth of feelings that lived in the souls of human beings during those times. Today, other meditations must be given to those who want to advance spiritually. We must also translate John's Gospel properly for it to, once again, represent for modern human beings what it meant for people in the past. See John chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, long quote. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This one was with God at the very beginning. All things were made through him, and outside of him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of human beings. And the light shone in the darkness, but the darkness did not understand it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This one came for testimony, to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but rather a witness to the light. For the true light that enlightens all human beings should come into the world. It was in the world, and the world was made through it, but the world did not recognize it. It came into individual human beings, to the human eye beings. But the individual human beings, the human eye beings, did not receive it. End quote. At the time of the Lemurian race, human souls entered their first human incarnations. Before that time, they were resting in the bosom of God. They were not yet eye beings. Consider inner vision. What in fact happens when we acquire insight into the spiritual world? In our routine daily lives, we live between waking and sleeping, which is at the most interrupted by a dream. The human being consists of physical body, etheric or life body, astral body, and the eye being. These four members are brought together when we are awake. The physical body is a sum of physical apparatuses, the eye, EYE, a camera, and the ear, a stringed instrument. These apparatuses are permeated by the etheric body, which enlivens them, and then passes on sensations to the astral body, the bearer of pleasure and suffering, of drives, desires, and passion, and further on to the eye, capital. During sleep, the physical and etheric bodies lie in bed, while the astral body and eye are lifted out. The etheric body remains with the physical body and enlivens it. The life functions are not interrupted during sleep. Colors, sounds, pleasure, and pain are sunk, as it were, into profound darkness. We ourselves are not aware of them. There are as many worlds as the human being has sense organs to perceive. Without eyes, there is no light. If we had an organ to perceive electricity, we would perceive it, just as we now perceive light. During sleep, we live in the astral world, or in the world of Devakan, but we experience nothing there. Only after persevering, work has created higher organs of perception, does change occur in us. Brightness begins to surround us. In sleep, we feel a space around us filled with objects. We have an experience similar to what is experienced by someone born blind, who receives sight through an operation. Astral and spiritual organs arise, and we see the spiritual world. Sleep no longer makes us unconscious. Later on, the spiritual world begins to sound forth around us. We hear the Pythagorean music of the spheres, which modern consciousness considers a metaphorical expression. Goethe understood it correctly. In the prologue to Faust, he says, quote, "The sun intones, in ancient ways, with Brother Sphere's arrival song, and his predestined journey he fulfills with thunder rolling. Unquote. We cannot take this as an empty phrase. We must take it literally. We hear the sun intoning when we hear the music of the spheres. In the second part of Faust, Goethe says further, quote, "The new day is born already, intoning for ears of the spirit." Unquote. The spiritual world first appears for us in sleep, but what we have experienced in sleep, we must be able to take with us into daily life. What we discover first in sleep, we must be able to find again among physical objects while we are awake. This follows in the further training of the student. After the effects of the first sentences of John's Gospel appeared in appropriate images before the souls of the students, they were supported in the development of certain feelings. Following several other exercises, the teacher called upon the students to develop the following attitude over a long period of time. If a plant that grows out of the ground were to observe the mineral out of which it grew, it would have to say to it, quote, "Mineral, you belong to a lower kingdom than I, but I could not live without you." Unquote. It would have to bow down humbly to the mineral and thank it for making the plant's life possible. Similarly, an animal would have to bow down humbly before the plant and thank it for providing the air that the animal breathes. So too, every higher class of human being must bow down and thank the lower. Human beings of higher standing all owe their existence to those of lower standing. You must instill this feeling firmly into your soul for hours every day, for weeks and months. After the students had done this, a spiritual image finally came to their eyes, appearing to each in the same way. They saw around them 12 lower human beings whose feet they washed. Then the teacher said to them, quote, "Now you understand inwardly the 13th chapter of John's Gospel, the washing of the feet." Unquote. In addition to this spiritual picture, an external symptom also appeared, again for each of them in the same way. The students felt as though water were washing over their feet. After that, they had a second feeling that had to be cultivated through weeks and months. "When all possible pain and hardships of existence come at me, I will develop the strength to stand against them always." When they had developed this feeling, another vision appeared. They saw themselves lashed. This vision, too, appeared to all in the same way. The external sign for this was shooting and itching pains on the whole body over a long period of time. Then a third feeling had to be developed. It is not enough to bear up under the hardships of existence. The very best that you can achieve may lead to your being reviled with mockery and contempt. They saw themselves wearing the crown of thorns. The external symptom was the experience of powerful headaches. And then came a fourth feeling. All human beings refer to the body they carry as I, capital. Your body must not be any more important to you than any other object. You must experience your body as something alien. When the students experienced this, the vision of the crucifixion appeared, accompanied by the appearance of the wounds of Christ on the hands and feet and on the right side of the chest, not on the left side, as is usually asserted. These symptoms appeared often during periods of meditation. Then the teacher said to the student, quote, "Now you can experience mystical death." Unquote. Only an approximate description of this can be given. The student felt as though all of existence was completely extinguished for a moment, as though nothing was present any more, as if everything was hidden behind a veil. Then the veil was torn asunder from above to below, and the student saw into the spiritual world. But there is another moment that came first. Before the mystical death, the students had a vision of all the evil that can exist in the world. They had to descend into hell before they experienced mystical death. After this follows the sixth station of the cross, where students begin to experience their bodies as no longer belonging to themselves at all. They expand their consciousness to include the entire earth. When they have fully developed this feeling, it is called the burial in the earth. The seventh station cannot be described with earthly words. It is the resurrection and so forth. This condition is higher than a human being can imagine. John's Gospel describes these seven steps. Those who went through all of them recognized Jesus as he lived on the earth. John's Gospel is the way to recognize Christ Jesus. For this reason, it was given to those who wanted wisdom, not as a book merely for edification, but for inner development. Every part of it can be experienced. The revelation of this truth stands as a turning point in human evolution that cannot be compared to any other. This is what came into the world through Jesus. Human beings were fourfold in nature at their first incarnations, but they developed further. If we observe people who are undeveloped, we see that their astral bodies have remained the way they were when they received them. Let us compare such an astral body with that of an average European, or with that of an idealist like Schiller, or a highly developed man like Francis of Assisi. Average Europeans no longer simply follow all of their drives. They may disallow one and set other feelings into place, the moral commandments. The capital I has worked on the astral body. Their astral bodies consist of two parts, the unpurified, which has remained the same as when they received it, and the purified. With Schiller, the purified part is very large compared with the unpurified part. And the astral body of someone like Francis of Assisi consists of nothing but the purified part. This purified part of the astral body is called the spirit self, or manas. Human beings thus have five members to their being. Human beings can similarly work on their etheric bodies. Religious and artistic feelings work on the etheric body and create out of it life spirit, or buddhi. If human beings can gain power over their physical bodies, then what they have spiritualized is called atma. In external development, this process proceeds very slowly. In Greece, buddhi was termed Christos, and among most modern human beings today, this element is only just beginning to be present. The greatest power that we have received in our time to develop buddhi came through Jesus Christ. He has made possible the development of the sixth principle, buddhi, in everyone. Christ has spiritualized humanity. The seventh principle is that of the Father. Manas is developed through the Holy Spirit. The sixth principle is developed through Christ. And when it is developed within an entire race, to a large extent, then what was hidden in it as potential strength emerges. That is the sixth principle. Then all of the people who belong to this race will have attained to the sixth step of initiation, the burial in the earth. A cheerful or a sad face allows us to infer a cheerful or a sad soul. We see what is inner on the outside. Everything is an expression of the soul. If we think of the earth as the body of a being with a soul, then the souls of human beings are absorbed by the earth when their bodies are absorbed. These souls can be in the earth in this way, as the human soul is in the human body. We take our nourishment from the body of the earth and walk on it with our feet. Jesus said, quote, "He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me," unquote, John 13:18. So-called code words appear often in ancient writings. They designate very specific things. For example, when the master went with his students into the inner sanctum, quote, "he went up on the mountain," unquote. The Sermon on the Mount is a sermon for the students alone. Quote, "Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and his disciples came to him," unquote, Matthew 5:1. Likewise, temple is an expression for the physical body. It is usually called the lower nature. Is it really low compared with the astral body? In fact, today, the physical body is much more highly developed than the astral. Of course, at a later time, the astral will be more highly developed than the physical. Consider the femur, the thigh bone, which, because of its structure, attains the greatest concentration of strength with the least expenditure of resources. Or consider the heart, which has been so wisely constructed that it can stand up under decades of continued attacks from the astral body. When the astral body of an initiate was loosened from the body and became conscious, it was said, quote, "it has exited the temple," unquote. In John's Gospel, Christ speaks of the temple, quote, So they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Unquote. Furthermore, he spoke in the same way concerning the purification of the temple and the destruction of the temple and its reconstruction in 3 days. The way Christ entered the world can be seen in the following. The sixth principle, Buddhi, is born out of the fifth, when the fifth principle has attained the height of its development. It is born, in other words, out of the spirit self, or manas, which was called Sophia by the Greeks. All Gnostics, confessing in the spirit of John's Gospel, called the mother of Jesus Sophia. Through the appearance of Jesus, the sixth principle has been brought to the earth. The union of life spirit with humankind is taking place. For this to happen, Sophia had first to become fully mature. Humankind is Sophia when life spirit unites with it. This is related to us in parable form in the marriage at Cana. The Lord used John's Gospel for revelation through the disciple whom he loved. This name is always borne by the Master's first and favorite student. The expression concerning the disciple whom the Lord loved appears for the first time in John's Gospel, in the 11th chapter, in the account of the resurrection of Lazarus. In those days, initiation required the student to spend 3 days in the temple. In this case, the etheric and astral bodies were loosened. Those undergoing initiation died, as it were, and were reawakened 3 days later. The Lord initiated this disciple whom he loved. The resurrection of Lazarus signifies this initiation. The disciple who stood by the cross was also Lazarus, and the same initiate is the author of John's Gospel. The disciple whom the Lord loved was not mentioned any earlier than the resurrection of Lazarus in the 11th chapter, so that the various parts of the Gospel would be in harmony. This understanding of the Gospel was present in all Gnostic and Rosicrucian exoteric schools. John's Gospel is a book full of mysteries, full of spiritual forces for humanity. That is the end of the lecture, and these are answers to questions after the lecture. Question: what is the causal body? When a human being dies today, the etheric body, along with the astral and the eye, are separated from the physical body. The etheric body stays together with the higher principles for a while. During this initial time after leaving the physical body, a person's entire life appears before the soul like a great tableau. This is because the etheric body not only is responsible for the life functions, but also bears our memories within it. During life, it is also constrained by the physical brain and cannot fully unfold its functions. As soon as the physical limitations fall away, however, our entire memory lies spread out before us. This lasts until the etheric body also separates after several hours from the astral body and the eye. But it is separated only from the etheric material, while the memory pictures are taken along by the person. This essence of the etheric body is retained by the human being, and the sum of these essences from all earth lives is the causal body. End of answer. Question: in John's Gospel, how is the celebration of the Last Supper to be understood, especially the sharing of the bread with Judas, the betrayer? A very specific process was part of ancient initiation. The student was brought into the temple and into a 3-day death, during which the etheric body was loosened and the soul was led through astral and devaconic experiences. One of these experiences consisted of this, that every part of the body was transformed into a human form. 12 members were counted, and students saw 12 figures, with their own being as the 13th, the soul of the 12. Sensuality brought the egotism that must be overcome. This was taught in particular to students in the Middle Ages. A teacher in those times could have given students the following explanation. Behold a plant. It holds its flowering organs chastely up to the sun. Fruit can arise only when the blossom has been kissed by the sun. The human being is an upside-down plant. The animal stands between them. The world soul permeates plant, animal, and human being. It is crucified on the cross of the earth. The substance of human beings is permeated by desires. Their flesh has fallen lower than the flesh of plants. In the future, human beings will once again become desireless and lift themselves chastely to the spiritual sun rays. What is termed the Holy Grail will come about, creative spiritual begetting. In the Last Supper, described in John's Gospel, lower egotism appears as Judas, the betrayer. The disciple whom the Lord loves lies on his breast. The purified power reaches up into the heart, which in the future will become a spiritual organ for creative begetting. This can be seen even today from the anatomical structure of the heart. The heart is one of the involuntary muscles and, as such, ought to have smooth fiber cells. But it does not. It has transverse fiber cells, like voluntary muscles. This points to the time when it will be a voluntary muscle. When awakening after the initiation, the student said the words, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, parenthesis, my God, how you have transfigured me, unquote. In the original text, these words can easily be transposed into the other version, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me, unquote. The house in which the Last Supper took place was a house of initiation. End of answer, new question. At the wedding feast in Cana, what does the transformation of water into wine mean? According to the explanation of present-day theologians, it indicates the transformation of the Old Testament into the New, which signified the bubbling wine. Here in the north, Siegfried was a pre-Christian initiate who stopped short of Christian initiation. This is indicated by the vulnerable spot on Siegfried. Siegfried, the invulnerable one, was vulnerable on the spot where Christ bore the cross. One will come who expresses the meaning of the earth. The blood of this being is water. Water was called the blood of Christ in all mysteries. In the 8th century before Christ, the Dionysian religion was developed, and with it, the enjoyment of wine gained the upper hand. During Atlantean times, wine was unknown. Today, wine has fulfilled its function. A sign of the diminishing significance of wine is the appearance of wine of vine aphids, Phylloxera vastatrix. Before wine appeared, all human beings were conscious of the eternal core of the human being, which goes from life to life. The Egyptian workers, whose efforts, unimaginable by today's standards, built the pyramids, found comfort in their faith in reincarnation. Those were people who drank no wine. Through the enjoyment of wine, the human being is cut off from the knowledge of higher principles. This state of affairs had to happen at some time. If human beings had not been introduced to wine, they would have become bored with the earth. That could not be allowed to happen. In order to produce culture, human beings had to learn to love the earth. They had to be cut off from their previous incarnations so that they would love only one, their current one. All humanity had to go through one period in which it knew nothing of its higher principles and earlier incarnations. During its first 2 millennia, Christianity did not publicly teach reincarnation, except to the initiates, as Christ taught it. Quote, tell no one until I come again. Unquote. This means until the development of the 6th principle has taken place. That time has now arrived. All human beings have now gone through an incarnation during which they were cut off from above. In ancient times, there was a form of marriage among close blood relatives. One of the consequences of the shift away from such marriages to marriage among unrelated people was the extinguishing of clairvoyance. Marrying close relatives today would produce degeneration. During the age of close marriage, people had a memory not only of what they themselves had experienced, but also of the lives of their parents. This inherited memory carried a name, for example, Adam, Seth, Enoch. In addition to memory, good and evil were also inherited original sin. For this to be changed, love of the human being in general had to take the place of blood love or love of kin. Quote, who does not leave father, mother, wife, children, cannot become my disciple, unquote. Parenthesis, Luke 14:26, Matthew 10:37, Mark 10:29. Parenthesis. Jesus also goes to strangers, to the Samaritan woman, quote, for the Jews had no dealings with Samaritans, unquote, John 4:9. Christ came from Galilee, the country with the greatest mixture of bloods. A being who could observe the earth from a distant star would see the physical earth permeated and surrounded by an etheric and an astral body. If this being were to observe the development of the earth, say from Abraham, until today, that person would see a change in the colors at the moment when the blood flowed from Christ's wounds. An initiation such as that of the Apostle Paul could not have occurred before the appearance of Christ. That was an external initiation, made possible because the entire astral body of the earth had been changed. End of answer question. Question concerning the future of Christianity. Christianity has such endless depths that its development is unforeseeable. As a religion, Christianity is the last. Within itself, it carries all possibilities for development. Theosophy is only a servant of Christianity. The difference between Christ and the other great founders of religions lies in this, that in the other religions people believe in what the founder taught, while in Christianity people believe in what Christ is. End of answer. Question. Question about the influence of the etheric body on healing the physical body. Mental illnesses derive in part from the fact that the etheric body does not have the power to work upon certain parts of the physical body. If the etheric body is too weak to master part of the body, then this part becomes sick. If the etheric body is strengthened, the situation is helped. The end of Lecture 6.1.